I'd like to introduce our guest pastor today, John and Vicki Smith. John was recently appointed the district field director for the Schuylkill District. Together, they've been active in church ministry for close to 20 years. So please, John, come forward. Thank you.
I turn the microphone off because if it's on while I'm singing, you'll all get up and leave. I don't want that to happen. I'd be responsible. Anyway, Vince, a.k.a. Mitch, thank you. I was asked to just say a couple of words. Yes, I'm the district field director, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means. But I'm blessed to be here. Vicki and I are blessed to be here with you today. We've been in a number of our churches already in the first couple of months. And what we've seen is a love for Jesus Christ, and that touches this man's heart very, very deeply. I'm also supposed to tell you, Ed told me this, I'm also supposed to tell you something about myself. Well, I'm married to an absolutely incredible woman, and if it wouldn't be for her, I probably wouldn't be here because I would have gotten lost somewhere or forgotten, I don't know. But anyway, she's a gift from God, and I thank God for her. The second thing I'm going to tell you is when the bishop called me and asked me if I would be the district field director for the Schuylkill District, he said, what do you think? And I said, well, you've given me like 48 seconds. Could you give me a little more time? And he agreed to that. He thought that was probably a good idea. But my heart was filled with joy. I want you to know why. My maternal ancestry, all of them, are from Schuylkill County. Not this part of Schuylkill County, and I understand there are divisions here, but Tremont, Orwin, Tower City, Donelson, I know these places. And doing my genealogy over the last year, we've stood in a lot of cemeteries. And it's a powerful experience to know from where you have come. In Orwin, Pennsylvania, I didn't even know there was an Orwin, Pennsylvania. It's right below Tower City, south of Tower City. And there's a little town there. It's a few houses, a church, and maybe a little general store. But you pull in the parking lot. I went there, Vicki and I went there, and I stood between the grave of my great-grandfather, Rudolph, and his wife, Sarah Hoke. And on this side was my great-great-grandfather, John Schneider, and his wife, Louisa Hafner Schneider. They were from Bavaria. They were all anthracite miners. Every one of them worked underground. I've come to appreciate what their lives were like. They weren't easy lives. So that just tells you a little bit about me. It's just a wonderful blessing to be here and to share with you today. I thank Pastor Ted for this opportunity. Can we pray as we begin to talk about God's Word? Father God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to celebrate you in our midst. Lord God, to celebrate the love and the kindness, the compassion, the joy, the righteousness, the goodness, all the stuff you pour into our lives so abundantly, the treasures are just enormous. We just say thank you. Now, Lord God, as we're challenged by your word and also by this Sunday being the Sunday of peace, Lord God, help us put it all together so it kind of makes sense so that when we leave here, when we leave this house of worship, Lord God, we might be inspired to live even a more passionate life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about peace. And Julie, you already used some of my, you stole some of my stuff here. Anyway, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. That's what Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You see, peace covers over fear and all kinds of stuff. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You see, you ask for thanksgiving even before you're done with the verse, because you know that God's going to answer the prayer with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't fathom God's peace. We can only begin to comprehend what it might mean. But anyway, this peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's going to guard you. Jesus said, I told you these things, in John 16:33, I told you these things so that in me you will have peace. And then he said, in this world, he told his disciples, he's talking to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. I don't know about you, but I don't know the world anymore. I don't know it. But I do know Jesus, and I do trust it. And then he says, I've overcome the world. You see, the source of true peace is Jesus Christ. That's what we sang about. That's what we heard in the Advent devotional. And we have to blend that now with, Pastor Ted gave us this challenge this morning of chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. And I want to read it to you. And I learned how to do this. Are you proud of me? I think it's something. You can tell Ted I'm good. You know what? I think I found it easier to read right off the screen. I don't need to put my glasses on. Modesty, you know. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zephaniah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. That's from the house of Aaron, too. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them, now listen, these are the kind of people they were. Both of them were righteous in the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine somebody writing about your life or me writing about my life and God saying, you know what, you're righteous, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were without blame. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. In the time of Zechariah and Elizabeth, if a woman was barren in her old age, it was seen as a punishment from God. Of course, we know that's not true. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot. Now, we know nothing happens by chance. That was a big debate Vicki and I had when we first started dating all those years ago. I believed in coincidence, but she straightened me out. Anyway, he wasn't chosen by lot. This is God's plan. According to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. That's what he was to do. Now, I want you to know, the priest who was able to do this only did this once in his entire priestly career. That's it. So this is the big day. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers outside were praying outside, of course. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. You know what? It says exactly how it worked. Right there, it would be your right side. Right there on the right side was Gabriel. When Zechariah saw him, of course he was startled and was gripped with fear. Just think, being wakened at night, and there's the angel of the Lord sitting on your bedpost saying, I want to tell you something. Of course people are going to be afraid. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't do that. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. That's what's going to happen. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. This is going to be marvelous, Zechariah. This is going to be incredible. It's going to be a joy. And many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And that's incredible, because that's not the way it is for you and me. We had to accept Jesus Christ first before we were infused with the Holy Spirit. But that's what happened to him. This guy's special. He will bring, listen what he's going to do. He's going to bring back many of their people of Israel to the Lord their God. He's going to bring them back. You see, they had walked away. I got to watch where I go here too, by the way. They had walked away, but he's bringing them back. And he will go before the Lord and in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children. To their children. In Christ. Oh, it wasn't Christ. In God. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Here's the verse we're going to focus on right here, part of this verse 17. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's why John came, to get people ready. Jesus is coming, you know? He's coming. Zechariah's angel. Oh, this wasn't good. How can I be sure of this? I'm old and my wife is well along in years. Notice he didn't say Elizabeth was old, just well along in years. Okay, he knew better. But look, that was the wrong thing to say. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now, Zechariah, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, the birth of John, because you did not believe my word. You didn't trust God, which will come true at their appointed time. Again, he confirmed, this is going to happen. Elizabeth's going to be pregnant. She's going to have a baby. You're going to name him John. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them. Zip. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home to Elizabeth. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Now, that was a very typical thing for a Hebrew woman to do at the time, remain in seclusion while she was pregnant. She didn't have a lot of contact, so basically both of them were fairly silent about this. But she said, this is dear. This is just beautiful. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Thus ends the reading of God's word. What I want to show you today is this text can serve as a prototype for our lives. Okay, that's what I want to show you. I want to show you that the intersection between yesterday and tomorrow is found in our today. Now, I'm going to explain that. Between every yesterday and every tomorrow, there exists a today, and todays are important. During our todays, folks, we're asked to consider our relationship with God. We're asked to consider our relationship with God. So let's take time to explore Zechariah and Elizabeth's life together and their today. And then we're going to look at their yesterday and tomorrow, and we'll do the same for us. Who were they? Zechariah, the Lord has remembered. That's what it means in Hebrew. Elizabeth, my God is my abundance. Verses 5 and 6 tell us all about Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were blameless. They were righteous. They observed all the Lord's commands and decrees. They were faithful. They belonged to this line of Aaron. This was a tremendous resume. You know, I guess when I do something like this, and it just dawned on me, you know, I think, you know, someday I'm going to be laying in front of a church somewhere and some preacher's going to be talking about me. And I wonder, what in the world is he going to say? Oh, everyone. Okay. So what's this about? What's this about? It's about a baby, okay? And the baby is a promise. Ergo, the promise fulfilled. That's the title of this overarching Advent Pastor Ted came up with. What's this about? It's about a promise from God. This is about a promise from God to Zechariah and Elizabeth and to all of us. That's what this is about. They would be given a son, even though they were old timers and Elizabeth was barren. You know, I like to think about these characters when I read these texts. And I thought about what it might be like around a dinner table before all this happened. There probably wasn't much peace. There was a lot of sadness and heartache. There was little hope. I mean, this we have to understand how heavily this weighed upon this couple, that she was barren. Okay, so why is this important? That's another question we have to ask. Because now all of a sudden, Zechariah and Elizabeth are called. They're called by God to do this incredible thing. This son that you're going to have, Elizabeth, this son you're going to have, Zechariah, was going to be a tremendous joy to you. He's going to be a delight in your life. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Your children will be great in the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine? Ah. And he's going to have the Holy Spirit with him from the time he's born. And because of him, talk about a challenge. Because of him, this John, many will come back to the Lord their God. They're going to come back to him. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody about sin. It's not always an easy conversation, you know. And he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow, what an assignment. He's going to be instrumental in God's plan of salvation. And his name will be John, which means grace by God. In response, of course, Zechariah was fearful, as any of us would be. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was he doubted God. He didn't trust God. And so he wasn't able to speak. Okay, we have that. And that wasn't a punishment, because in Hebrews 12:10, it tells us that God disciplines us for our own good. See, God only disciplines those who know him. If a person not disciplined by God, they may not know him. That we might share in his holiness, that we might grow in grace and stature. See, God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to permit us to stay the way we are. He wants us to be transformed into his image, and that's what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. That was their today. Now, they also had a yesterday. Now, these two people were faithful people, so they, just like all the Israelites, they were looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. He's coming. Because they knew their scriptures. They fully understood the promise of Isaiah. And here's one of the promises from chapter 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling, yeah, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make a straight line in the wilderness for a highway for our God. And Isaiah 7, 14, and therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. Look for the signs. Look for the signs. The experiences of Zechariah and Elizabeth going forward, I can't imagine what went on in their hearts. Their hearts. When they saw this promise that was given to Zechariah in the temple fulfilled in real life. I wonder what it was like to comprehend the gravitas, the seriousness of what was happening to them. God is calling them. You are going to be instrumental in my plan of salvation, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Not only to them, but to Israel and to all the world. And then one day, there's a tomorrow. The promise is fulfilled, okay? Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, you remember, everybody remembers this one because it's a common scripture at Christmas time. The baby leaped. John leaped in her womb. I can't imagine what that was like. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Anyway, leaped in her mind. And then 1:23. And then their son John, he replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. Here's what he said. I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. I am he who Isaiah, hundreds of years before, prophesied. I am the one who was to come before the one who was to come comes. I'm he, or I'm him. The next day, it says in 1:29, John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, imagine standing there and hearing John, as he's baptizing, say, look, here comes Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the... I mean, that gives you goosebumps, man. You know, I wonder if Zechariah and Elizabeth, I wonder if they ever sat around... You know, in my family, we grew up sitting around a kitchen table. I wonder if they ever sat around a kitchen table and they said, you know, I think God so loves the world. I think he loves the world so much that he's going to send his son. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think that his son is going to differentiate between those who believe and those who don't believe. But for those who believe, I think it's going to be a joyful time of incredible peace in their lives. I don't know if they said that or not. You know, can we learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth? Can we? I think we can. Okay. Now, you know, George Santayana, he's a philosopher. You may have never heard of him, but you did hear of this. Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it. Okay. Most of us have heard that. So we don't want to be unknowledgeable. We want to know so we don't repeat history. And for each of us, there's a yesterday and there's a tomorrow and there's today. Let me tell you about our yesterday. John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen. The question becomes, do we believe that? Do we really believe that John saw the word became flesh and made his dwelling. And we learn from Jesus. Jesus in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. I am the only way to eternal life. Do we believe that? And you know, it's amazing. Even the Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, you know, they were all there. And if you remember from Mark chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus has just healed a paralytic, and Jesus says to him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up your mat and go. Your sins are forgiven. And the people cried out, who can forgive sins but God alone? Exactly. Jesus was saying, I'm God. That's an incredible claim. I'm God. I don't know. So, we have to be people of faith. Not like Zechariah, and trust and obedience, because those things form a foundation for our relationship with God. So do we really believe? I asked this morning, and evidently your church didn't do this, but there was a truth project from Focus on the Family. It was powerful. If you ever want to do that in a small group, man, it is powerful. 12 units, and it's powerful. But anyway, the guy who moderates it, his name is Del Tackett. And throughout this, Del Tackett said over and over and over and over again, do you really believe what you really believe is really real? That's not some circular thinking. Do you really believe what you really believe, the important stuff? Do you really believe the important stuff? And do you believe that this is really real? Is a question that we're confronted with. We're confronted with that. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, this Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe it? It's a challenge. Because if a person truly believes that, there's real peace in their lives, even in this world. Are we really convinced that Jesus is who he says he is? That's a question. So what about our tomorrow? Well, we know how the story ends because we have the book. We know how the story ends. And in Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, it says this. This is John. He says, I wept and I wept. No one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. But the elder said to him, do not weep. Have peace. Have peace. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, and the root of Jesse is based on Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, and that basically, he is the Christ. He's triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and unlock the seals. You don't have to worry, John. You don't have to worry. Just have peace. Jesus came, he triumphed over death. He triumphed over hatred. He triumphed over sin. He triumphed. Now it says also in Revelation, I'm the Alpha and Omega, who is, who was, and is to come. Again, our 3 days. He is now, he was then, and he will be forever. That's who Jesus is. Jesus said, I'm coming soon. Do you believe that he's coming soon? You know Jesus is coming back. I'm not getting a response. He's coming back. Now, no one knows the day or the time. Matthew 24:42. No, nobody knows the day or the time. So just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, they had a yesterday and they had a tomorrow, but they also had a today. And that today is the day in which they were called by God to serve him. So we're going to end up right there with the call. Are you convinced as a Christ follower that you have been called by God? Again, no response. You don't believe me? We are. And while they were waiting for the birth of John, there were things they should do. Now, their lips were sealed, but as contemporary followers, Christ followers, we are compelled by God's word to speak. To speak boldly and clearly and abundantly and passionately and with great joy and thanksgiving, we are compelled to speak. That's what we're compelled to do. That's how we're supposed to be spending our day. And we're supposed to do that in the same manner as John the Baptist, as a voice of one calling in the wilderness. That's who we're supposed to be. How we choose to live today will make a tremendous difference. Will make a tremendous difference in God's tomorrow. It will. We're all called by God. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors, just like John the Baptist. And how about Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, and you will be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, then the ends of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness testifies. Testifies to what? The truth, with a capital T. Or how about Mark in chapter 16, 15? Go into all the world and preach your good news to all creation. Vicki and I love to hike in the mountains, and I often think of that text. Am I supposed to preach to these trees and rocks? Well, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, go. You know, when you hear that word go, that the tense in the original language is continuous action. It's not like just go one time. It's like you got to go continually. Abram, remember from Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter 12. I should have looked it up. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abram, I want you to go. Abram didn't say, do I need to take my credit cards, or are there going to be ATMs there, or what about food? I mean, do I need two suitcases? Should I take like a bunch of camels along, or how about my wife and kids? No. Right after God said go, the very next verse is, Abram went. Blind faith. Anyway. And how about Matthew chapter 28? Therefore, go. Again, there's that go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. You see, we are to be ambassadors. We are to be witnesses. We are to be preachers. And I don't mean you're going to come up here and stand, because my hands get really cold because I'm really afraid of you. Anyway, standing up here, that's not what it means. It means proclaim Jesus Christ to the world around you. And we are to be teachers, to be able to tell them exactly what it means to be a Christ follower. That's what we are supposed to do. And we don't even have to do it by ourselves. I get excited about this stuff. We don't have to do it by ourselves. Because right after that, Jesus said, and surely I am with you even to the end of the age. You don't even need to go along. I'm there with you. Peace. Trust. Our today matters. Just like if Zechariah and Elizabeth wouldn't have done what they did, I guess God could have worked it out some other way. But he knew what was going to happen. But we wouldn't be sitting here maybe today. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, these are not my words. If you love me, you will obey my command. The corollary to that would be, if you don't love me, you'll do whatever you want. Just like at the end of Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There's a lot of that going on today. I just want to tell you a story. This is personal. I didn't tell you guys are getting a bonus here. I didn't tell the first congregation this story, so this is special. Vicki and I don't have a TV set, so all we do is talk. When we decided to get married all those years ago, we decided we just wanted to talk. You can guess who talks the most. Anyway, not her, Vince. Don't look back at her. Straight from the pits. Anyway, we're driving along one day, and she said, What's the most painful thing in your life? I didn't even hesitate. Why didn't anyone tell me? You know, I had a family, an extended family. Nobody ever told me about Jesus. I went sometimes to a church, a mainline church, but I never heard about Jesus. I didn't. I had lots of coaches and teachers, and they never told me about Jesus. I had a lot of friends. Well, maybe I didn't have that many, but I had some friends. But they didn't tell me about Jesus. And they had parents, and I know some of them went to church. They didn't tell me about Jesus. I had next door neighbors, and they didn't tell me about Jesus. Did they really want me to go to hell? Did they really not care about me? Didn't they care? I still think of that. I don't get angry about it, but my heart aches. We are called to testify. We are called to testify to the glorious God who saved us through his son, Jesus Christ. So this is what we've learned this morning. John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, understood their yesterday. They knew all about yesterday because they studied the scriptures, and they longed for the tomorrow because they knew the Messiah was coming, because they knew God in their today. You see, it all hooks together. Who was, who is, and is to come. Because they were responsive to God's call upon their lives, Elizabeth phenomenally bore a son named John, and they were filled with much joy. See, you get joy when you do what God calls you to do. And this son, listen, came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's why he came, to get us all set. He's coming, man. As a result, maybe including many of us, have been blessed because of what God did in those folks' lives. He did it in their lives. Based upon their trust and their hope and their faithfulness and their obedience and their incredible love for their Lord, their God. I mean, we talked about peace. And we've established already, Julie established it, I established it, that the only true source of peace in a world this world desperately needs peace, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the only source of peace. That's it. That's all. That's it. Furthermore, this knowledge, this understanding of Zechariah and Elizabeth's life, as it relates to peace, is a matter of eternal life and our death, because people need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Just as in the day of Zechariah and Elizabeth and John. Yeah. In the same way as Elizabeth and Zechariah had a yesterday, we too have a yesterday. We have a tremendous understanding. Anyone who spends time with God and his word, we know. We know what our yesterday should be. He came. The promise was, tell Ted I said this. The promise was fulfilled. Got it? Don't forget. The promise was fulfilled. And we have a tomorrow. He's coming back. You know, I don't know. Because I was working full time, it took me 9 years to go through seminary. I was on the eternity plan. But I used to tell Vicky near the end. I knew I was getting near to, I bet Jesus will return the day before I graduate. Of course, she had some theological response to that. I don't know. Look, whether I step from this world into the next because of something, or because we're driving back to London today and the Lord returns, and I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work, but poof, and there's going to be a pile of clothing and we're going to be gone, it doesn't matter. I know. I'm absolutely sure that his promise is true. And then because of all that, we are like John the Baptist. And we are called by God to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. So, like, in my unnimble little mind, the only question I can think of asking you right now is this one. Will we? Father God, thank you for this time together, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John. And Lord God, thank you for sending a son who loves us so much that he died on a cross for us. Lord God, just thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John, for that inspiring.
Oh, you said that's you talking. I didn't know. I thought that was God.
It was the voice from above. It was God. It's time.
He scared the dickens out of me.
Thank you so much for your inspiring and important message. Do we really believe what we believe?
What we
about
really
Jesus?
Believe is really real.
Is it real? And the tremendous responsibility that comes along with it, yet the peace that will accompany that as well. Thank you, Pastor. If you don't mind, it's not in the script, but after the closing hymn, if you would give our final benediction, I would appreciate that.